I can barely play the one's language. Are you thankful that Jesus Christ, when he was born, one of his names, the Silver Age Trooper today, is that he is the Prince of Peace? Are you thankful for that?
Yes.
So let's say together, Jesus is my Prince of Peace.
Jesus is my Prince of Peace.
You know, for those that are getting ready for the second advent, in case you can just turn me down, please. We already know Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, or let it be fearful." And the version that we read earlier, it says in the NLT, it's rendered as a gift. And it's the gift of peace. Jesus said, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." I don't think there's any accident in John chapter 14 that starts off, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." And we go through chapter 14, and near the end of the chapter, we have this idea that Jesus says, "I'm bringing this all together for you. I want you not to be troubled. I want you not to be afraid. What I want you to do is to understand the gift that I give you." Oh, by the way, many of you will try to find this through the world and try to find a replacement for what I have for you. But he makes it very clear, there is nothing in this world that can replace the gift from the Prince of Peace. His gift is peace. I want you to watch this video from Advent talking about peace and understand a little bit more about the gift we have from Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace.
The word peace is common in most languages. People can talk about peace treaties or times of peace. It means the absence of war. And in the Bible, the word peace can refer to the absence of conflict, but it also points to the presence of something better in its place. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is eirene. The most basic meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word can refer to a stone that has a perfect whole shape with no cracks. It can also refer to a completed stone wall that has no gaps and no missing bricks. Shalom refers to something that's complex with lots of pieces that's in a state of completeness, wholeness. It's like Job, who says his tents are in a state of shalom because he counted his flock and no animals in them. This is why shalom can refer to a person's well-being. Like when David visited his brothers on the battlefield, he asked about their shalom. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations, and when any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole. It needs to be restored. In fact, that's the basic meaning of shalom when you use it as a verb. To bring shalom literally means to make complete or restore. So Solomon brings shalom to the unfinished temple when he completes it. Or if your animal accidentally damages your neighbor's field, you shalom them by giving them a complete repayment for their loss. You take what's missing and you restore it to wholeness. The same goes for human relationships. In the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal a broken relationship is to bring shalom. And when rival kingdoms make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't just mean they stop fighting. It also means they start working together for each other's benefit. This state of shalom is what Israel's kings were supposed to cultivate, and it rarely happens. So the prophet Isaiah, he looked forward to a future king, a prince of shalom. And his reign would bring shalom with no end. A time when God would make a covenant of shalom with his people and make right all wrongs and heal all the sinful. This is why Jesus' birth in the New Testament was announced as the arrival of eirene. Remember, that's the Greek word for peace. Jesus came to offer his peace to others. Like when he said to his followers, "My peace I give to you all." The apostles claim that Jesus made peace between messed up humans and God when he died and rose from the dead. The idea is that he restored to wholeness the broken relationship between humans and their creator. This is why the apostle Paul can say Jesus himself is our eirene. He was the whole complete human that I made to be but have failed to be. And now he gives me his life as a gift. And this means that Jesus' followers are now called to create peace. Paul instructed local churches to keep their unity through the bond of peace, which requires humility and patience and bearing with others in love. Becoming people of peace means participating in the life of Jesus, who reconciled all things in heaven and earth, restoring peace through his death and resurrection. So peace takes a lot of work, because it's not just the absence of conflict. True peace requires taking what's broken and restoring it to wholeness, whether it's in our lives, our relationships, or in our world. And that's the rich biblical concept of peace.
So peace be with you.
No.
You see, there is a burden that those of us who have come to faith in Christ must remember. Before our faith in Christ, our burden was incompleteness, alienation, destined for Christless eternity. But often, within our journey of faith, when we understand the Prince of Peace, and we're made complete, and we're made whole, and we're restored to who we are to be through Jesus Christ, I believe we often lose sight of that burden we had before Jesus Christ. And that burden that we all have experienced before Jesus Christ is alienation, sinfulness, separation, eternal damnation, no hope for a present, no hope for eternity, the absence of love, the dependence on our own efforts, and the list could go on forever. And church, I think one of the points that the Spirit just crushed me with during prayer service this morning is that often we lose sight of where we were before we knew the Prince of Peace. Before we knew the Prince of Peace, our burden condemned us to eternal separation. When we know the Prince of Peace, we are made whole and complete, and we are restored with Jesus Christ. We are restored to the Father through Jesus Christ. We are made right in His sight. We are His for eternity. Nothing can separate us from His love. Not height, not depth, not things present, not things that come, not principalities, not powers. Nothing can separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are complete. We are made whole. We have found the missing piece in our life. That missing piece is Jesus. And He's the only one that completes who we are. And His completeness gives us absolute, never-ending peace with God the Father. And it only comes by knowing the Prince of Peace. Why do you think Jesus said, "It's not the peace the world gives"? What do we so often do every day? Even as believers, we have the tendency to look to the things of this world to receive the peace for what's taking place in our life. And she says, no, no, no. It's my gift of peace. That will make you whole. That will give you completeness. That removes your troubles. That will take your cares. Jesus never says our life will be easy. Actually, He tells us that we will have tribulations. John 16, verse 33. He tells us that we will have trials. James chapter 1. But Jesus is
same yesterday, the same today, and the same tomorrow. If he was the Prince of Peace yesterday, he's the Prince of Peace today, and guess what, church? He's the Prince of Peace tomorrow. And when you know the Prince of Peace yesterday, and you live in the Prince of Peace today, he will carry you into tomorrow as your Prince of Peace. He will keep you whole. He will make you complete. He will take your burdens. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take your cares, your concerns, your anxieties, and place them, cast them upon me, for I care for you. He says, do not worry about anything, but seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and everything will be added and given unto you. He hasn't changed. Before he came in his first advent, there was no hope for peace. We have the word shalom, used often, but never truly understand in its truest form of completeness, in its truest form of receiving everything needed for life. But he came as the Prince of Peace, and his peace continues today. He's coming again as the Prince of Peace in the second advent. He will return to set up his kingdom on this earth where he will reign forever and ever and ever as the Prince of Peace. And often we don't truly understand or own the depth of who he is as our Prince of Peace. Here's the burden that's been breaking me today. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I don't remember how long ago, I asked you to share the names of lost sheep in your family, in your community, in your workplace, wherever, your acquaintances. If you're in person this morning, you can't answer. Does anybody know how many names this church gave of lost sheep that you have a heart for to see? Who wants to take? If you're in prayer service, you can't answer anything because I gave it away. If you're in prayer service, you can't answer either. How many wants to take a stab that was in prayer service? How many names are given?
200.
Not quite that many. 162 names this church gave. And some of you said, Pastor, I wasn't here, I didn't get a chance to do that. Turn them in. Tell us, who are the lost sheep that you want to see come into the kingdom of God? You see, those lost sheep are exactly where every one of us was at before we met the Prince of Peace. And as one who has met the Prince of Peace, we cannot neglect the fact or neglect the reality of where those lost sheep are still today. I'm going to take a step out that I hope you don't take as a theological quandary. And if you do, talk to me later about this. You know, there's one part, I believe, truly, that's not yet complete with our God and his kingdom. That's all the lost sheep. His kingdom's not complete yet. Because there's still lost sheep missing from the kingdom of our God. And the only way his kingdom will be complete is when the sheep who are lost are offered opportunity to understand, to place faith in the Prince of Peace, who brings them completeness and into the family of God. I shared a verse that was from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10. And you know, here's our Father's heart. You've heard me quote this, you've heard me read it, you've heard me say it.
But listen to the words from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 and 7. Let me go back to verse 8. We must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. Some of you get that. Sometimes our days feel like 1,000 years, all right? That helps us understand that our time frame is totally different than our God's frame of time is. After that, he makes this bold statement. This is the heart of our God, and the desire for shalom, Irene, in his kingdom. The Lord isn't really slow about this promise, as some people think. Nobody's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed. He wants everyone to repent. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear with fire, and the earth and everything on it will be bound to deserve judgment. No misplace of these verses before him talking about the end times, the second coming, the second advent of Jesus. You see, right now is the opportunity for people to find the Prince of Peace. Now's the time to find the Prince of Peace. God's not being slow. God has an exact time and place when Jesus will return in the second advent. Just like he had an exact time and place when Jesus was born in his first advent. We may count it as, when is he coming? How many of you have said, I can't wait for his return? But you have to look at the full picture of our God's heart. I don't want anyone to miss out on being part of my kingdom. I want all to find the Prince of Peace so they can be made whole, restored with me, and a part of my family. We have this awesome burden now, folks. As followers of Jesus Christ, our burden shifted from before Christ of being condemned to eternal separation to a burden that immediately comes the moment we find Christ as a Prince of Peace. Our sins are forgiven, our life, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, our sins have been removed from as far as the east is from the west. Our relationship with the Father has been restored in perfect unity, and he chooses to adopt you back into his family to make you one of the child, to make you a saint. You are a saint. We are more than just sinners saved by grace. We are saints who have been made complete, who have been made whole through the Prince of Peace. That's who he is. He is the only one that can bring completeness and restoration and wholeness to any of our lives. He is it. He is the only answer. And now our burden today, as children of God who have had the Prince of Peace make us whole and complete, are to go after those who are lost without the Prince of Peace. If we truly understand, if we truly own, when we truly claim, hold on to, and live a life with this new burden, we are fulfilling the mission that he gave us. And that mission is to make disciples of all people. Do you see this burden that shifts in our lives? A burden that we can't do anything about. Totally alienates all of us from a Father who loves us. We were at one point, everyone in this room that has come to faith in Jesus Christ, were at one point one of those lost sheep. And somebody, your mother, your father, a friend, a teacher, a neighbor, somebody was so broken over your lostness that they made it their point to make sure you understood the Prince of Peace so you could be made whole. Mr. White was so burdened with Kevin Hercules' lostness in September of 1981 that he would not let go of sharing the love of God with me until I found the Prince of Peace and was made whole in Christ Jesus. What's your burden today? Maybe I don't like to assume this, but I don't like to assume that all of you have already found the Prince of Peace. Maybe you're still burdened with your lostness. Maybe you're still burdened with total separation. Maybe you're still burdened with your sin. Maybe you're still burdened with life. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that the Prince of Peace says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Jesus, the one who gave his life on the cross to pay the price of your sins so that you may be saved, to have your sins forgiven, to be right with the Father, and to have perfect peace and completeness and wholeness from this point forward through all of eternity, world without end. You'll never not have the peace of Christ once you come to him. Or maybe those of us in this room that do have peace with Christ. Have you really owned the burden that our Savior left us of making disciples? Of finding lost sheep? Every one of you that gave a name of somebody that you wanted to see found, you yourself, by name, was prayed for this morning in our prayer service. Every one of you. Last week we prayed over 162. This week we prayed for those that have the burden to find those that are lost and make them a disciple of Jesus Christ. So do you get the point that our Christian life is something serious to hold on to? Something serious? It's just not a Sunday from 10:30 or whatever the pastor's done. This life is a life that we live, and we will give an account to our Father how we live it. We will stand before him and we will be judged on how we live our life. How we live our life the moment we lost the burden of lostness, received the burden of peace, and what we did with our life as the Prince of Peace lives in us. I've often told people in my years in ministry that don't wait for heaven to realize that everything God has given us to do, he really meant. Don't wait before you stand before the seat, the Bema seat. Don't wait till you stand there and we're judged for the works that we performed in the body from the time you received the Prince of Peace to be surprised that he really did expect us to do something with our life. Don't wait for that day. You see, when you have a clear understanding of 1 Corinthians, turn there. Let's just turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at the partnership with our burden, and look at the response, what will happen with how we respond to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Dear brothers and sisters, dear Crossroads Alliance Church, Paul is writing to us. He wrote to them, when I was with you, I could not talk to you as I would spiritual people. I had to talk those you belong to this world or though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you were ready for nothing stronger, and you still aren't ready. For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another, quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you like the people of this world? When one of you say, I'm a follower of Paul, or another says, I'm a follower of Apollos, aren't you acting just like the people of the world? After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts, Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. Stop there. How does someone get the seed? How does God make the seed grow if we don't do our part? God will make the seed grow, but we have to do our part. What's the seed? What's the seed?
The Word.
The Word of God is the seed. That was to be planted. The seed can't grow until it's planted. That's our burden. We must plant it. We must water it. Verse 8, the one who plants and the one who waters work together for the same purpose. And both of you are rewarded on your own hard work. For you are both God's workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on the foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already had, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on the foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if the person's work has any value. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. If the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like some barely escaping through the wall of flames. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? Folks, our burden from the moment we meet the Prince of Peace is to be Jesus to all those who have the burden of lostness and separation, to all those who have the burden of sin and no hope, to all those who have the burden of a Christless eternity. Our burden transferred to the cross the moment we believed. And the blood of Jesus and his sacrifice covered our burden. And we received a new burden. The same burden as our Father's. He wants none to perish, but all have everlasting life. The moment we came to faith, we received a new burden, the burden of our Savior's. The burden that the apostles followed, the burden that Paul just mentioned, that he built wisely the foundation on Jesus Christ. If he didn't build it, the church would have been here today. Our burden is Jesus' burden. It is called the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. Teach them, baptize them. If we don't do it alone, he is with us. The very thing that the world needs is peace. Not the peace the world gives, but the true Prince of Peace, who makes us whole and makes us complete and gives us life that will never end. And Isaiah, now I'll get to my notes. Just kidding. Listen to the words from Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. Part of this prophecy has been fulfilled. The rest of this prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven armies will make this happen. You guys see the prophecy that was already fulfilled in those verses? He's already been born as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. I did the wrong order, excuse me. The part that's still waiting to be fulfilled, that he is going to rule this world from David's throne in Israel, in Jerusalem, and there'll be no end to peace. His peace. That points, these verses point to his first coming fulfilled, his second advent, we're waiting. And during this waiting time, we have the burden for others to know the Prince of Peace. If you're struggling with peace this morning, just listen, life is tough. But God hasn't changed. Life is difficult. God hasn't changed. Sometimes we make our own mistakes and we suffer the consequences of it, but God hasn't changed. Maybe you are struggling with peace this morning in your own life, spiritually. Maybe life is anything but peaceful. As a child of God, as one who has come to know the Prince of Peace, let go of it. Let go of it. Cast all your cares, your anxieties upon Him. Pastor, that's so hard. Yes, it is. And maybe you have to do it every second the clock ticks. Just do it. Give it to Him. The moment you take it back, give it back to Him. The moment you pick it up, give it back to Him. The moment you find you do it again, give it back to Him. He doesn't get tired of us. He loves you. He loves us with an unconditional love. It shows our complete and utter dependence upon Him as our Prince of Peace. When you start worrying, go to the Prince of Peace. When you have anxiety, turn to the Prince of Peace. When you don't know which way to go, turn to the Prince of Peace. When the world is upside down and you're standing right side up, go to the Prince of Peace. When the world is just driving you absolutely nuts, whether you cause your own nutsness or not, wow, turn to the Prince of Peace. He knows how to make a bunch of good nuts out of us. When life is messy and you're overwhelmed, the Prince of Peace cleans us up and gives us the ability to understand peace, true peace, arene, shalom, completeness, and wholeness. When everything around us is absolutely going crazy, by the way, it's getting pretty close. We need to hold on to that Prince of Peace. And for those who don't know the Prince of Peace, could you imagine what their life is like? I can't tell you how many times I've visited people, I have conversations with people, hospitals, nursing homes, on street corners, in motor coaches, in church offices, all kinds of places where you just know there's no peace. And you're just like, would you please just listen? That's why everything the world offers, people without the Prince of Peace grab onto, because they just want some peace. And for a moment, those drugs give them a little peace. For a moment, that bottle brings them some peace. Not true peace, false peace. Peace that doesn't keep. For a moment, those extra relationships bring a little peace. For a moment, that bigger bank account, or that bigger house, or that nicer car, or that promotion, whatever, gives a little peace. But every one of those things are false peace. And they end, and that person is right back where they started again, looking for true peace. And every one of us in this room that knows the Prince of Peace are the messengers of the Prince of Peace for them. Father, as your word has been taught this morning, my own heart's been challenged. Just really grapple with the fact of so many in need who are truly looking for
turning to everything else. Lord, I thank you for those in this room that know the Prince of Peace and their Savior. And they've been made whole, and they've been made complete. Their sins have been removed. Their relationship with you has been restored. And they will enjoy perfect peace for all of eternity. I thank you for those in this room and that place today. But if you're one of those that do know the Prince of Peace, but you are just wrestling through difficulties right now, I invite you right now just to cast that burden upon the Prince of Peace. Give that anxiety to your Prince of Peace. Give that worry to your Prince of Peace. Give that relationship to your Prince of Peace. Give that financial burden to your Prince of Peace. Give that wayward child or grandchild to your Prince of Peace. Give that husband or that wife to your Prince of Peace. And let him carry it for you and receive from him the Rene. Receive from him shalom. And dwell in your Prince of Peace. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Prince of Peace. I invite you by faith to say, Jesus, I come to you today. I believe in you as my Savior and as my Prince of Peace. Thank you for making me whole today. Thank you for completing me today. Thank you for restoring my relationship with my Father in heaven today. Thank you for your blood that cleanses me of my sin today. Thank you now that I am at peace with you, and I will live in your peace forever. Whatever decision you may or may not have made today, know that you have a Prince of Peace living in you as a believer, or waiting for you to believe. And take that, the Prince of Peace, to those who have no peace, so that they too, this Christmas, that they may, by faith, believe, and be made whole and complete by the Prince of Peace. In our Savior's name we pray. I don't know why that's up there, but I like that verse. Let it read with me. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Jesus is coming again as the Prince of Peace to rule on David's throne. And we celebrate him too today as